Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki energy practitioner, medium, and author of A New Life Awaits, Spirit-Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening, which shares the wisdom of creating life anew with each experience and challenge as we begin to know ourselves in our total energetic and physical aspects. As spiritual beings enjoying a physical life experience, so we may refine and rethink our relationships and find love and joy in the process. I am delighted to welcome Kim Brancely, author of Uncharted, describing the adventure she and her husband embarked upon while facing the dreaded emptiness syndrome, to realize they needed to rediscover who they are. Hello, Kim, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Hello, Cheryl. It's such a pleasure to be with you here today.
Well, Kim, as listeners of the show are well aware, my guests and I share intimate insights into recognizing that we are all indeed much more than we appear to be. And life is a journey to find an inner awareness of the great potential we have to evolve and expand our human and also our divine talents and gifts. It is in understanding the duality of life that in turn explains the great opportunity we have to love and explore ourselves and the universe in its infinite potential. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will discuss a great adventure story about a voyage from one life chapter to another that involves a too big sailboat, a narrow and unknown sea, and an appetite to witness a mythical blonde bear that inhabits a remote rainforest. You know, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, or event that might have shown them or others around them the lifestyle they would choose as an adult and the interest they might pursue. Because I think the plan is there from the very beginning within us to be discovered, like reading a good book. You know, some will resonate mm-hmm. with us and some won't. So think back to your childhood or young adulthood where something spoke to you.
That's such an interesting question, Cheryl. You know, I think the older I get, the more I realize and appreciate I was tremendously lucky, and I actually had really hit the jackpot and had wonderful, not only wonderful parents, but amazing grandparents, and also two very, very strong great aunts who were mm-hmm. huge travelers and adventurers and way ahead of their time.
Very
you know,
nice.
And I think it was so lucky, you know. I think it's only later in life maybe that you look back and think, how did I ever get to be so lucky, especially to have these very, very strong women in my life. And so as a young girl, you know, I look at my mother in particular, who was really a stay-at-home mom when my sister and I were growing up in sort of suburban Southern California. But she had always had bigger dreams for herself, and in fact went back to school when we were still in school, and it ended up becoming getting a Master of Fine Arts in Photography and becoming actually a very well known and accomplished artist.
I think you were raised with the values that you could accomplish what you wanted to if you just tried.
That's right. And I think
not all children have
that. Of, right, of traveling, though, and that there is this really this huge world, you know, outside if you just were to seek it. So both my parents are also very adventurous, and I
maybe it's in the genetic maybe it's in the genetic content as well. as a good brain and an inquisitive, curious person, it's hard to know these things, but some people have it, and other people, they explore in different ways. We all come to know ourselves and the world. Some people are more introverted, more extroverted. It's wonderful. Just the way we are is the right way to accomplish whatever we need to do. So let's get on to that. That was a very nice story, and you were very fortunate to start out with a family that could encourage you. So tell us something of your own family life and your fears as you realized your youngest son was about to move across the country to go to school, I gather. And what was happening at that time when you started to be aware that you had to make some shifts in your life?
Exactly. Well, my husband and I have two sons, and our older son had already moved out of the home, and he was in college. And as our younger son was also preparing to hopefully get into a college, which he did, and leave home, I just, even though I had always worked full time and had a career and a life out, a professional life, and sort of interest outside the home, I was so taken aback by really how much sort of anxiety I think I had about suddenly not just my son leaving home. That's certainly what we all, hope and wish for, I think, for our kids, that, they will,
Absolutely, yep.
right, be able to have their own lives and separate from us. But it was more just, I think I loved our family life. And the realization that that conversation around the dinner table, that sort of, that closeness, really was, it was never going to be quite the way it had been. And I think I was just grieving that. And so I began just, because I think I had this anxiety, I began looking for something to sort of fill what was already beginning to feel in a very sort of physical way, like this sort of looming sort of, I think, like an emptiness or like a looming space in my heart, which just needed something to fill it. And so around this time, my husband also, I think because I think there was that, and also we suddenly realized we would maybe have a tiny bit of freedom in our lives. We would be free from the school calendar and, all the years of driving our boys to these various sports practices. And, just parenting, I think, is very busy, in this day and age,
Yes,
whether you want it to be or not.
it keeps you very busy, and it doesn't always allow you the freedom to be silent with yourself and to be to research other things within you, your soul development, because you're just so busy with the outside world and your children. You just use those spaces, the words empty space in your heart. And it was around the same time that my daughter went away to college that I started to feel an emptiness, almost a pain in my heart. And it
You
wasn't,
do.
and it wasn't, yes, I did, and it wasn't about the anxiety of the change, because I was working. I've always been very productive and helped lots of people. That seems to be my, like, a caretaker. I'm an intuitive healer and medium now, but in those days I wasn't. So I realized I had a lot of questions about life. I had studied in school philosophy and religion, and I wanted to really know who we were. What is this physical life all about? What are we here to do, and where do we go at the end of life? Because I had a feeling of something much bigger, like your adventure. I had a feeling that there was an adventure waiting beyond this time and place. And so when I heard you say that, that isn't an awakening process to the soul. And what we're born
That's
to
so
do,
interesting.
what we're born to do at some point, some people do it a little earlier. They might have what they call a night of the soul, a dark night of the soul, where they lose a job, or they lose a house, or they lose a person they love, and life changes for them, and they begin to sense something more, and they want to discover who they are really. And so I think that in part is what you embarked on in your journey. So let's go on to you and your husband were both seekers of the truth of who we are as a life force, and you did have the courage to venture out of your comfort zone. That's why you bought
Well,
this
it's
big
right. Well, it's
boat.
so interesting. I think that I love what you said about sort of, at that time in life, sort of, suddenly having an awakening. Or I think for both of us, we stumbled into it, though. We had no idea that that is what would happen to us, and it that is exactly what happened to us, to both of us. And I think we were so, fortunate that it did go that way, because it just could have gone a number of different ways.
It made life brighter and it made life
Yes, but
more
yeah,
interesting. Yeah.
I think it's so. Maybe I think though that just we're all there's this sort of busyness that sort of put upon that I think society just sort of puts upon us now, and with all this information coming at us, and people are just running so fast and hard, right? Just to keep up, just to get through a day, let alone when you're raising kids and keeping a family life together. It's just so much. And so I think what we felt was that there would suddenly be this, this bit of freedom, and it almost felt like an opening in life, that there's this little, that if we were intentional about this time, we could just grab just a little bit of time, really. And we weren't even sure what would happen with it. We just knew that we wanted to use that time just to go take, some sort of an adventure. And
Well,
because living here in Seattle, we're surrounded by all of these, this extraordinary wilderness and these places, these islands that you can only get to by boat. We thought, well, why don't we try some sort of a sailing adventure? The only minor detail is that I did not know how to sail. So
but your husband knew a bit.
he did.
And I'm
He
sure
did. He
he may have studied,
yes.
taken lessons. You're not going out on a
That's true.
big boat without any preparation. I mean, you
No,
have
there
to
was a
be
lot of
safe.
preparation. Right. But
Exactly.
it was definitely, it was a lot to take on for as a couple, especially because I think, there's that if one person is expert at something and the other person's just learning, you are, you're the person who is the neophyte is suddenly you're putting yourself in that, you're with eyes wide open, you're realizing that there will be that imbalance, that knowledge
Yeah,
imbalance, right, in your
sort
relationship.
of an invulnerable position, but it's okay because you can grow
It
from
was
that.
okay for me. It was okay for me. It's an interesting conversation, such a fascinating conversation to have with other couples and partners, because I don't think that, not everybody I think would be okay with that imbalance or willing to, to weather it. I so much wanted to explore this part of the world, and I knew that it was just an extraordinary place that, and I really wanted to go there. And if it hadn't been for that, though, I'm not sure that I would have put myself through it, because it was a lot and a lot to learn.
I know, but tell us of the marvelous journey of beauty and wonderment among the hemlocks, the trees, the giant kelp sea wolves, humpback whales, and the bears. You were very interested in a
Yes.
certain kind of bear that you were in search of seeing and learning much about. So tell us something
Well,
about how it expanded your view of life and yourself in the process.
exactly. Well, in my book Uncharted, I describe how I fell in love with this very rare white bear that is in fact now the rarest bear in the world. It's more rare than the giant panda. And it lives on only two islands on the far northern BC coast. Its scientific name is a Cromoty bear, but it's known more commonly as a spirit bear. And I just fell in love with the idea of this bear and trying to see one. They're extremely difficult to see, and which is so even that was more appealing to me. And so my husband and I set off on, taught ourselves to sail our boat as we were en route. We set off on a 700-mile sailing journey north to try and find this bear. It was a 2-month trip, round trip. And it would I mean, the seas on the Pacific Northwest coast, the seas are actually relatively calm. So, it's a very complex place to boat or sail because there's so many little islands. It's really a maze of islands and channels and fjords on this coastline, and it's complicated. It's complex boating and sailing because you have to sort of time your passages through these very narrow waterways, and so it was really quite thrilling, and stressful at times,
I'm
but
sure.
so beautiful. It was just so beautiful. The farther north we got, there were, oh my goodness, just beautiful, all sorts of beautiful giant flocks of seabirds, and whales breaching off the side of the boat. We see humpback whales and, schools of, families of orca or pods of orca whales, and even an occasional fin whale, which is rare to see. And there are these beautiful sort of gray sea wolves that only live on these islands that swim from island to island. And then, of course, the bears, which,
Did you get to see this mystical Komodo bear?
wow, I would hope that your listeners might buy my book and look for it and read to the end and find out if we did or not.
Okay, because I know you wrote that Paul Nicklin, who was a National Geographic photographer, waited in the woods for days. He did catch a picture of this strange creature climbing a cedar. So that
Yes.
did you know him, Paul Nicklin? Because I know
You
you
know,
worked
I.
at National Geographic Adventure and you've traveled to more than 30 countries. So you're a good traveler.
Yes. I am. I'm a very adventurous traveler. I have been in touch with Paul since my book came out. So, and which has been very exciting because I'm a huge fan of his work. And he wrote a beautiful blurb for my book as well. But I didn't know him before the book. I had always just been a great fan of his
Oh,
photography.
so that brought you together. That's interesting.
It did.
You see,
It
nothing's a coincidence. Sometimes
is interesting.
it's part of
That's
the
right.
plan of our destiny. We think about something, we're interested, we pursue it, and it comes right to us. But let's get on to Uncharted is a voyage of adventure, but at its heart, a meditation on the changing nature of love. Tell us something of the thought that Leslie T. Sharp wrote in the review she wrote for your book.
Yes, I loved that review so much, and I was so honored she said that because that is very much what Uncharted is about. It's very much a story of a long-term partnership or a long, a mature marriage as well. What happens when you've not only been together with someone for, I think in our case, goodness, it had been 25 years at that time, but then if you have children, they leave, and then you're looking at that next chapter of life, and suddenly, sort of in our case, you're staring across, a very small galley boat dinner table at one another, thinking, now what do we talk about? It's just the two of
What
us.
do we
But,
learn? What's right? What's the next topic?
right. And so it was such an interesting time to. I really wanted to pay very deep attention to just to how that transition felt as a couple. And in our case, because we also had taken off on this adventure, as we were learning, it was a sort of, actually, I would say it was a transformative experience that we both shared in the wilderness. The adventure felt very much like a rite of passage, right? The sort of the traditional sort of rite of passage where people go off into the wilderness I think being in that much quiet and silence, and surrounded by nature and all that vastness
You know,
was
you,
actually really healing.
yeah, you just said something very interesting. You wanted to know how it felt. Many people think analytically with their minds and their ego-based reality, but the greatest knowledge and wisdom comes through us through the feelings of our inner being. And you were searching for that also. And you wrote something that I liked very much. So I'm going to read it. My family wasn't religious, but I had a hunch about God. The mountains seemed created for our worship. There were high granite peaks, an expansive sky, and cottony white clouds. Each day was long and hard and grand. Stitched together, the hiking days made a sort of pilgrimage. Even during the drive to a distant trailhead, I felt like I was exactly where I wanted to be, perched between my young parents and gazing out the window to take everything in. My strong-willed little sister splayed on the beach in the back. The road stretched endlessly ahead of us and behind us, so we were suspended in time and place as well. I liked moving through that expansive landscape. I liked the feeling of being between one place and another. As the town spread farther apart, the sense of time diminished, and we each became lost in a mythical landscape that was as much internal as it was external. We were a family. When you are a child learning the world, your parents help shape your perceptions. When you are a parent introducing your own children to the world, you discover those perceptions, things you had almost forgotten, resurfacing as if hardwired to your DNA. These memories in me of our families wandering through the West were so deep that as soon as my own boys were old enough, all I wanted to do was take them exploring. Luckily, my husband was willing to come along. You picked the right partner. But that passage is so beautiful. And there is so much truth about who we are and what is within us to discover, both in our childhood and then later when we're adults and sharing it with our children. And I think that's what life is about, discovering who you are within all the experiences that we have. Now, Kim, you've worked on both coasts and have been a senior editor at Travel and Leisure magazine and a contributing editor at National Geographic. So having traveled extensively, this is kind of an important question. Please tell us what you have learned of human nature and the spirit of the soul that gives it a life force capacity to survive all challenges. Now, I know you had some challenges, and the book, as beautiful as it is in its ethereal, you know, look at energy and the beauty of nature, we have to deal with other things. So tell us about that. What you have learned of human nature and the spirit of the soul?
That's such a big question and such an important question, isn't it?
Yes,
I think,
it is.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think, and I love also that you just read that prior passage, because it's one of my favorite passages in the book. And, you know, I think there the lesson really is that, you know, that life can be very simple, right? Very
yes.
Simple can be very beautiful. And, you know, I think it doesn't take much if you just somehow are centered in within yourself and your soul to, you know, and I'm not necessarily talking about happiness. I think I'm just talking about appreciating, right,
yeah,
moments, and if you notice them. And so that was one thing that I think I learned over the course of the journey, you know, sort of just about both of our souls, was especially, you know, those are long days on a sailboat. There wasn't much to break them up except just weather and you know, as I said, living in tune with the rhythms of nature and having to get ourselves from place to place. But, you know, there was, on the calm days, there was just sort of a certain amount of just, you know, very much being very aware, literally, of where we were on the planet. And that was
It grounded you. And it grounded you to the many joys and successes of your life and your family's life. And it gave you gratitude for life itself. And I think that's what we're here in a way to get past worrying about, oh, how challenging, difficult every day in life is, and get to a place where we can allow, accept, and surrender what's not good for us, what doesn't serve us, what doesn't bring us peace within, and joy, and let things go. People used to say to me when I started my spiritual journey about 25 years ago, they used to say, oh, you have to let go. Well, I didn't exactly know what they wanted me to let, but over time,
That's a hard lesson. It's a hard lesson to learn. I think, when you asked about what did we learn in the challenging times, though, that was a harder lesson for us in every way. We did have some extremely challenging things where things would happen on that big boat very quickly. The weather would change, or the wind would whip up, or we'd have mechanical difficulties, and there's no one else there to help you, right? You just have to deal with it and figure everything out. What I think we both learned was that maybe we all have more, we're more capable than we think we are. A, if you, you know, if you have to be,
You will
you
be.
are. And, I have to say there were times where, and it was not easy. And we would have rather been anywhere else. And yet, in the end, I think if you come, like so many things, especially in life and in our relationships, if you can come through those things, right? Relatively intact on the other side, it's empowering,
Anything that's
right?
too
You feel.
easy is not really almost worth the effort. It's the challenges and
Right. That's.
difficult things that take us to new levels of where we want to be. So I want to thank you, Kim Brown Seeley, author of Uncharted, an adventure story of physical, spiritual, and emotional substance that shares the beauty of love, nature, and spirit as we grow in amazing recognition of our capacity to continue to explore life in an open-hearted and loving way. And if it is in your nature, an adventuresome way to read this well-written and delightfully descriptive journey of a trip into forever, go to kimbrownseeley.com, or the book is available at all fine bookstores. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within with Kim Brown Seeley, we have enjoyed delightful views of life from the beginning within our parents' homes, then college, friendships, marriage, children, careers, building homes and friendships, exploring the terrain and our dreams in mind and body, but ultimately realizing that the greatest adventure lies within the courageous soul journey that leads us through coincidence, synchronicity, and perhaps the whispers of those above who lead us to our greatest moments of self-awareness and higher consciousness. We remember, well, I remember because I read this in the book, as Kim and Jeff did, that we have free will, and as has been afforded to many of us in this country, we have the means to discover what brings us joy and happiness in our journeys, within our thoughts and dreams, and also in the physical world of beauty and change, eternal change. We've learned to move past fears and restrictions and allow opportunities to appear so we can have amazing lives. Kim wrote of an amazing event she observed in regard to how sometimes things seem wrong, but in the end are just as they should be. And Kim wrote, "But we did have luck. Jeff worked on the 62nd floor of the South Tower of the World Trade Center, and on the day of the first bombing, the 1993 truck bombing, he was not in the tower because he was in Vermont. We'd snuck away for a long winter weekend. He was on a payphone checking in with his boss when a 1,200-pound truck bomb detonated in the parking garage beneath the towers. His boss, who had been headed down to the garage when Jeff called, heard a muffled thud and said, 'Hang on a minute.' No one knew yet what had happened. The call ran late, which spared Jeff's boss from being in his SUV at that exact moment as planned. Months later, when they identified pieces of the Jeep, the Grand Cherokee, they determined it had been less than 100 feet from the blast. Often, I tell my clients as a medium, I am aware we have a time to be born and a time to reach beyond this physical life, to rejoin life beyond this physical plane to an energetic and eternal life. Often, if it is for the journey of a soul to avoid a certain event, for they are in one way or another divinely helped to be safe. I believe that was the event that we just read about. And my own son was offered a job in Twin Towers just before Twin Towers and would have been there, but he declined it, and he was in his Jeep traveling across the country to California when 9/11 happened. And there were so many stories of people who should have been there that day but were not, for it was not their time nor destiny. So Kim and I would love our guests to know the precious nature of each life and the time we have, and each adventure we are called to experience. Say yes to life and say yes to love, and no matter what challenge any of us must go through, if we remember we are spiritual beings, we will know we're never alone, but guided by the majestic voice of the universe that encourages each of us to find a path to exploring our soul wisdom. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and author of A New Life Awaits, offering stories of people moving past social, economic, political, and religious complexities to find a stronger sense of their spiritual essence and potential to create lives of prosperity, health, and happiness. To listen to and read about authors and leaders in the metaphysical fields of scientific, spiritual, medical, psychological, and educational studies, which lead us to explore life in practical and positive ways, go to my website, CherylGlick.com. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.